This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood. I'm gonna kill you.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It's Friday, May the 10th, and it is it's summer. We're trucking into it.
Today, I was driving, and it's overcast, and it has been, I don't know the last time we saw the sun, but it's been a minute, but it's just constantly humid and overcast. But I was just thinking to myself, man, everybody loves to hate on January. Mm-hmm. Like, January is the worst month we have. Mm-hmm. I would argue May is up there, and you want to like it because it's springtime. But in Texas, it's when everything starts blooming, so yeah. It's just like your allergies are crazy. It's so freaking humid. It already feels like summer, but yeah. It's not summer. So that is irksome that like you're like, we already have to deal with this 3 more months. Like, why? Yeah. It just gets earlier and earlier. Also, I'm biased because my birthday's in January. So whenever people are like, January sucks, I'm like, some of us were born then.
You're like, well, actually, January can be pretty great if you were
also
born
then. Also, Simon was born then. So yes. It's pretty great. And my dad.
And my sister. So there you go. It's there a lot of go. Good January babes. But yeah, I'm an October baby. So if everyone's like, October's the best month, I'm
nobody
like,
nobody has
know.
Ever in the history of the universe said October is the worst month.
That's what I'm saying.
October,
it's the best month.
October and December. Most people think those are the best months, October through December.
Yeah, we can't.
We can't all fucking go back in time and help our parents get it on at a different time than they did and be born in a different time of the year.
Well, we wouldn't want you to because we love our Capricorn and Aquarius siblings and besties just as you are. And yes, we're bringing back
January. I'm going to melt, though.
Yeah, we're bringing back January.
Now, I would love it to be January. Remember how cold it was in January? Oh, man, that was nice.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's all of the sweating has begun. I've just been like, I'm in it. It's happening. And I'm going to sweat from now until October. So my birthday. So I'm looking forward to my birthday when the sweating will stop. But mm-hmm. Until then, we'll get y'all sweating for some different reasons with some, especially the last few stories. We've got some mysteries, some cryptids for you, but also a whole lineup of odd but true tales today. So thanks to everyone who sent them in. And thank you, Chrissy, for curating these for us today.
Yeah, kind of broke them up into two halves, as you will see.
Yes.
With ending on not one, but two Bigfoot stories.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I thought to myself, should I save one for another one? And then I went, I'm just going to put them both in here because it's different point of views. And plus, the more we talk about it at once, the more likely it is to happen.
Exactly. We're here, baby, and we're getting Bigfoot. We're urging Bigfoot to come out of wherever he or the many of them are hiding because Big I feet. Think there's more than one. Yes, Bigfoot. And if we can pass by one on our full moon energy tour this summer, I'm going to love it because St. Louis, that's Missouri. There could be a Bigfoot. I think that we can make an argument for any of the following cities: St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Raleigh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Dallas. Honestly, really, only Dallas, because I have the most experience here, is the one that I'm like probably not going to see a Bigfoot there. But any of those other ones,
I'll tell you what, maybe. I would love to see a Chicago Bigfoot.
Hell
just
yeah.
Waiting in line for the L. I would also love to see Vegas Bigfoot, which needs to be written and produced ASAP.
Las Vegas Bigfoot,
amazing.
He's in an Elvis impersonator costume for sure.
He is a high roller, and also he doesn't lose.
He never loses.
He knows how to beat the casino.
No, as soon as he gets that, he hits it on roulette. He's like, they all know. They know when he's winning big because he's just
letting out a howl. Get off the Eiffel Tower. It's not for you to climb.
The side of it. I love it. Well, if you're wondering why we're traveling to all of these hot spots for Bigfoot locations, it's because it's our full moon energy tour.
It is. We are going back on tour in just a week, where we perform a show that only is heard live there. Mm-hmm. We don't release it on the main feed. We haven't even released it on Patreon. So you can only see it in person. And even if you saw it in 2023, we've added some things. So you could come back or bring a friend. We have one lovely listener, Alina. If you're listening, you're a diehard. She's coming to see it for the third time.
I'm telling you.
Makes me feel very special and happy. So thank you so much. But
you can get a ribbon.
But yes, first time, third time, whatever time. You can go to sinisterhood.com/live shows for more information. You hear all about the darker side of the moon, what it does to us, what lurks up there, what people think really happened during the Apollo missions. We talk about legend, lore, mysterious, macabre. Pretty much everything that we talk about on the show is just centered around our big, beautiful, shining moon and the beautiful yet perhaps sinister, perhaps sexual.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
It's wheels off. It turns.
There's a lot that goes on in the show.
It goes off the rails. But yeah, we'd love to see you guys. Go to sinisterhead.com/live shows and come hang out with us in person. The first shows are, you're listening to this on May 10th. They are this next week coming up. Mm-hmm. So St. Louis, Chicago, and Milwaukee, the time is now. So we'll see y'all next week. But before that, we gotta get some freakiness today.
Let's do it. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Katrina, and it is called My Mom's Casual True Crime Stories. And content warning, there's a brief mention of sexual assault. Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for your amazing podcast. It's my absolute favorite, and whenever I'm retelling your stories to my husband, I always start with, on my podcast today. A recent tale about a fellow listener's dad randomly dropping into conversation that he used to work for John Wayne Gacy reminded me of the not one, but three different true crime adjacent stories my mom has randomly dropped into conversation over the years, like she was telling me what she had for lunch the day before. The first two came in the same Mother's Day lunch a couple of years ago. She'd had a very rare alcoholic beverage and was loose-lipped. Firstly, my auntie apparently lived in Gloucester when Fred and Rose West were actively kidnapping, grooming, abusing, and murdering young women in the town. Nothing ever happened to my auntie, but how it took 35 years to come up, I'll never know. Secondly, my mom dropped that my great uncle was friends with Jimmy Savile back in the day. I don't know how much you know about Savile in the U.S., but he was the worst sexual abuser in U.K. history and got away with so many untold horrors for decades due to his fame and charity work. He was an absolute monster and was only exposed after he died. My uncle didn't just know Savile. I think everyone in Leeds knew him, and I even lived near him for a few years. But they were friends and even went on cycling holidays together. I never knew this uncle very well. He was the outcast of the family. Not for anything bad, just didn't quite fit in with the rest of the family. And I will give him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't know what Savile was up to all those years. But it's still very unsettling to think somewhere there are family photos with Savile in them. Lastly, when I was 14, I started helping Mom with cleaning jobs in our village. One was for a single man, mid-40s, I think, lived alone in a flat in the village. By the time I was 16, I could fit cleaning his place around school and my other job, so I did this regularly on my own. I should point out that he was rarely there with me. Once or twice, he popped back for something, but generally, I was alone in his place. Well, after a couple of years of this, my mom oh so casually told me about the nicknames they had for the man at the local pub, behind his back, of course. They called him Red Rum and Shovely Brian. I asked, why would they call him those names? Well, turns out, many years ago, Brian had gotten angry at a man in the pub, a different pub, who'd been chatting shit about Brian's girlfriend. Brian had followed the man home when he left, gone into his back garden to have it out with him, and in anger, picked up a shovel, hit the man over the head with it, and killed him. He was picked up and charged by the next morning and went to prison for murder. My mom knew all of this and sent me, her firstborn child, on my own to this man's home. Did this make me stop going? Nope. 20 quid a week is 20 quid a week, and I had teenage shit to buy. Anyway, thankfully, I have no horror stories, just tales from my wonderful, amazing, very laid-back mum. Love you both, Katrina. P.S. I hope my Northern British ways of wording this made sense and maybe made you smile. We have a way with words.
Well, yes, I love how you write. I can hear it in your voice, especially chatting shit is a good phrase.
Chatting, yeah. I love the way that the UK uses chatting to describe things. Can we just for a second talk about Shovely Brian? Because sometimes things just are what they are. And you're like, why do you call that man Shovely Brian? Oh, he hit his neighbor over the head with a shovel and killed him. You're like, yeah, that's Shovely Brian, all right.
Oh, it was right on the nose is what you're telling me. It was just not, there's no hitting. We're not doing any kind of like wordplay. That's just that he was charged with.
Well, I'm very glad, Katrina, that you didn't have anything bad happen with him. I don't know that I would send Ella to go over to Shovely Brian's house to clean his flat, knowing that he is a convicted murderer. But, you know, we all parent differently. But
I don't know what Brian's like remorse level was afterwards, if he came out and did a big apology tour.
Right.
But yeah.
And it's also like, well, it was a crime of passion type situation and
incident. You
know, one-off incident versus like John Wayne Gacy, for example, but true. Or Jimmy Savile, which
yes.
Here's the thing, and I'm not going to go into it because to say he's a monster is like putting it mildly. I did not know who he was until a few months ago, and I told you this, mm-hmm. when I started watching a docuseries on Netflix about him, but it wasn't very descriptive in the description of what it was. Well, within like 30 minutes, I was like, oh God, what fresh hell have I stumbled into? And I had to turn it off because what a monster. And to have all that happen and he was never held accountable because it all came out after he died. And honestly, a lot of people knew what was going on and turned their head the other way because of his fame and charity work. So shame on everyone that failed all those many, 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 many children.
Yeah, you're right. I remember I knew about it just because of headline kind of stuff. And I was at your house and you went, well, I tried to turn on a docuseries. And the second you said the name, I go, why were you watching that? I won't even watch
Even Paris knew. Yes, Paris, he goes, Paris oh, knew. God. I was like, you he's know like, who he is? Guy? He's like, yeah. I'm like, how have I never heard of him? But yeah he's a true monster.
It's to the 1,000th degree. You're right. Yeah. Truly. So that's one that just seeing he has John Wayne Gacy vibes, like you said, of where it's you knew somebody was doing something through an extended, prolonged period of time. You hope that great uncle didn't know what was going on. In the, you know, truly, because those photos of them together are eerie enough just being that ignorant to it. Because, oh, Jimmy's he's my cycling buddy. Yeah, we go on vacation together to go cycling, not knowing.
And there's a good chance he didn't because a lot of people didn't because he was charming and, you know, hit it well. But a lot of people
they compartmentalize. Did.
Yeah.
Like their lives and stuff like that. Yeah, just having your mom drop info. And Fred and Rose West, both of those are just such extreme.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Violent. Your family has connections to some of the worst that's ever come out of that part of the country.
Yeah, truly, truly. But yeah, your mom must be very laid back to be like, oh, yeah, I didn't mention that. Oh, well, yeah, that's a thing. Anyway, another mimosa.
Yeah, you get mom talking at Mother's Day after a couple mimosas or margaritas, and you find out all of a sudden that your aunt lived down the street from one of the most notorious killer couples to ever have lived.
Yeah, that's a happy Mother's Day to your mom. I hope this Mother's Day, I know England Mother's Day is different than ours, but ours is this coming weekend. Oh, so
that makes sense. Never thought of it, but I guess, I mean, it's just a made up holiday, so I guess you can put it whenever you want.
Yeah, they're all made up. So, but yeah, well, I hope you, anybody a Mother's Day, it's good luck, guys. If you take your mom out for a brunch, you don't know if she's going to just drop some odd facts and weird connections to your family. But you know what? What happens if she does? You email it to us.
We know where to send it. Maybe you take her out for lunch, you get her a couple mimosas in her, and you're like, hey, mom, what's the weirdest thing that's ever happened with our family? And then you've got a story to send in.
Yeah, well, that can be a future Freaky Friday of things that came out of our Mother's Day brunch, thanks to you, Sinisterhood. We're like, well, we told you to ask.
Well, thank you so much, Katrina, for sending that in.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This next one is from Christina, and it is called I'm Trapped in a Foreign Country Due to My Abuser. And this does have to do with domestic abuse. Hi, Heather and Christy. I have really enjoyed listening to your show for the past few years, and I appreciate you giving a platform to important issues, particularly abuse of all kinds. My life has been very complicated lately, and I am feeling fragile. Perhaps that's why I felt compelled to write after hearing yet another Freaky Friday about a creepy man. I would like to tell you my story, as I think that more people need to understand the warning signs of a controlling abuser. 15 years ago, I was working in a huge international law firm when I met another associate at a firm retreat in a glamorous foreign country. He lived and worked in a totally different third country. We immediately got along, and I went back to his room, with no intention of taking things very far. I was scheduled to fly out the next day. He was staying on for a few days of holiday, and he began pressuring me to change my flight back by a few days. In the end, he convinced me. He called and changed my flight. I was a bit drunk, and he wouldn't let up. Plus, it all did seem quite romantic. I didn't get in any trouble with the firm, surprisingly. I found some of his behavior on this trip boundary pushing, but I didn't even know those words at the time. For example, I had told him that I didn't want to sleep with him, but the first day I joined his holiday, he pushed our beds together, and I felt like I had gotten in too deep to refuse. I thought that because he was senior to me, had a posh background with amazing credentials, and he came across as very suave and sophisticated, that my instincts were wrong. I also thought that there may be some cultural differences that I didn't know about. After we both went home to our respective countries, he pursued me constantly. He would call me at work every day, and it was clear that he was very interested, far more interested than I was, to be honest. Then one day, he announced that he was visiting. I allowed this even though I was a bit uncertain. I was very insecure romantically, and I thought that his being so into me showed that this could be a long-lasting relationship, and that he would treat me well. Fast forward a few years, and he convinced me to move to his country as his fiancée. Over time, I came to realize that he was cold and distant, and he often invalidated my feelings, saying that I expected too much, that I was a princess, that I nagged him constantly. I was in a constant state of confusion, wondering why I didn't feel more happy. This was an amazing fantasy whirlwind romance, right? After we were married, there continued to be constant low-level trouble. He would put me down in subtle ways. For example, I made more money than he did, but I hated my job. He referred to himself as the breadwinner because he said that I couldn't be counted on to keep my job. He used the breadwinner status as an excuse to make all the decisions. If I threw a receipt in the trash, he would dig it out and confront me with it later, asking what I had spent the money on. He convinced me that only his name should be on the house for U.S. tax reasons. He would also foil any plans I tried to make for us, such as going on nice vacations. He would refuse to engage and then insist on booking a flight to where he wanted to go at the last minute, even for our honeymoon. When I agreed to have a baby with him, I didn't realize what the long-lasting implications of this would be. But his mean and controlling behavior went up to 100. He was unwilling to do any childcare. I had changed jobs and made less money now, though still way more than most people, but he constantly put my job down. He would criticize me for not getting a promotion, but at the same time, he pressured me to work less so I could do more for the family. For a while, he banned me from going to the supermarket, and I would be in big trouble if he found out I had stopped into one even for a moment. It felt like I never did anything right in so many ways. At a certain point, I learned about abuse. I had thought that what was happening couldn't be abuse because he didn't hit me, swear at me, show jealousy, or call me names. But now I know that this kind of abuse, coercive control, and financial abuse, can be the worst of all. It's especially difficult because it's invisible, and others outside of the relationship can have trouble recognizing it because it doesn't fit the stereotype of a trashy, swearing meathead. One day I told him that I thought we should get divorced. He said that I would lose my spousal visa, this was true, and that he would keep my daughter. He said that my daughter didn't need me. As a result of this, I stayed an entire extra year until my immigration status changed. This was the hardest year of my life because I felt I had to comply with his controlling demands and put up with his insults and undermining. The only way I made it through was due to having amazing coworkers and a clued-in manager who knew about my company's domestic abuse policy. Then one beautiful day, my ex came home, and my daughter and I weren't there. That was 5 years ago, and I am so glad that I got out, even though I am now essentially trapped in this country due to my ex's parental rights. It hasn't been easy to be a single mother in a foreign country, but I am very proud of how far my daughter and I have come. She is 7 years old, and she is the light of my life. Things with my ex are still difficult. My daughter hates him, but as things stand, she still has to see him regularly. He also continues to harass me in sneaky, cruel ways, but I have shown that I am resilient, and I will do everything I can to support my child. We will be okay. I hope that hearing my story will help someone else understand that abuse is more than hitting and calling names. Word salad, undermining you, telling you what to do, doing sneaky things to get their way, restricting your freedom. These can all be hallmarks of abuse. Listen to your instincts. Even wealthy, well-educated men with nice friends can be abusive. And think very carefully before putting yourself in someone's control, as I did when I moved countries, bought a house, and had a child with this man. Thanks for reading. Even if this doesn't make it on the show, keep it creepy.
Man, international custody, anything when it comes to international stuff can get so dicey, even if you don't know anything about the law. But, I mean, luckily you know something about the law, and it's still so difficult, all those different laws. Like she said, immigration status plus family law issues plus, I mean, in some way, kind of criminal law almost. Like it just all comes together in this storm, and you're just doing anything you can for your poor kiddo. And you're doing it, though. You got her out, and it sucks that she still has to see him. But what a lucky girl to have a mom like you.
Mm-hmm. And eventually, she'll be old enough to that it's not a problem, you know?
Yeah,
I see a lot of people talking about their, you know, older kids, like older teens and stuff, being like, they said they don't want to go and I'm not going to make them. And like, mm-hmm. so there gets to a point where like the courts don't have much control over it. Your kid has a car and can do what they want to do at some point. So it sucks right now, but you've shown her so much just by leaving that and being the great mom you are. And I hope that you have a relaxing and wonderful Mother's Day. This is a very good point of, we often think that abuse is hitting mm-hmm. or being yeah. called a name or someone yelling or cussing. It doesn't always look like that. Abuse mm-hmm. can take many forms, and all of these things are certainly examples of abuse.
No, and definitely it's kind of a misconception too that, you know, you would have to be a person that was super disenfranchised. Like maybe you don't have a job or mm-hmm. you don't have a lot of education. But even if you're a highly educated, a high earner, a high achiever, that these same tactics of coercive control that, oh, well, just it's romantic. Like, come just change your flight, that you in retrospect can see, oh my gosh, the control started from like second one. Mm-hmm. But man, he was so good at it. He mm-hmm. his act was so good. He had fooled everybody. He still fools everybody in his life. Cause you know, that's what always gets me when you hear about these, again, this high, well-educated, wealthy, gregarious, charismatic guy who we find out secretly has been controlling his wife. It's like, no, that's how good they are at like putting mm-hmm. on this facade and lying, that their boss thinks they're a great guy with a perfect family, and all their friends down at the, you know, pickleball court or whatever think that they're such a great guy, and they have everybody fooled. And so mm-hmm. I think we tend to get down on ourselves going like, oh my gosh, how could I have let myself get into that situation? But it's like, this is a professional liar. Their whole entire yeah. life, all they do is lie. So the two people that they can't really lie to are the ones that are closest to them, which would be, you know, your wife and daughter. Like, they know the truth and who you really are.
Yeah. Says they everything. See you all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can put on a, you can mask it for a while, but mm-hmm. obviously he had even stopped doing that with her if he's going mm-hmm. through the trash and digging out receipts
yeah.
and won't let you go to the supermarket. I mean, you got Turns. Out at a good time because he seemed like he was definitely escalating.
Most definitely. But yeah, you know what? Christy said the right thing, that it'll come out in the wash. Like, time will tell. The time and love that you spend with your daughter doting on her, that's what she's going to remember about her childhood. And the rest of it, it's like, one thing you can't control, buddy, it's the truth. It's me and the truth. And those two things will always come mm-hmm. out on top.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Christina, for sending that in. And I hope that at some point you can get back to the country that you want to be in and raise your daughter in, because mm-hmm. to be held kind of like a prisoner because mm-hmm. of laws is very scary, especially in a foreign country when you might not speak the language, you don't know all the laws, you don't know who mm-hmm. to call for stuff. That's like a whole other layer to an already horrible situation.
But shout out to your company for having a domestic abuse policy. Right? I think most places should have, every place should have that for sure.
It gives me hope to have read several Freaky Fridays recently where the business manager of whoever the victim was is on top of things. They're not minimizing it. In fact, they're like, not on my watch. So yeah. I love to see that that's becoming more of the norm.
Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood will be right back.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there, because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Well, speaking of businesses and badasses and... men that think they can do whatever. Mm-hmm. Our next story is from Becca, and it is called Misery of Uncertainty. Hello, you two. I will agree with my sinisters and say that your care, your outspokenness, your humor, and your compassion make your show a bright spot in my week. The show is a huge part of my life, so thank you for what you do. I was just listening to Freaky Friday episode 110 and felt compelled to write in. The stories that May and Lindsay shared had me reflecting on all kinds of things. So, let's get freaky. For some background, I am a 42-year-old woman, raised in the Midwest by conservative parents. My mom freaked just this morning when I told her I was seeing an acupuncturist. And I've spent the past decade deconstructing what I thought life was about and constructing the life I live now, where I take up space, don't apologize for existing, and basically call out old white guys daily. When Lindsay encouraged the listener to take the misery of uncertainty over the certainty of misery, I felt that in my bones, and then patted myself on the back, because that's exactly what I did in 2015. I left my abusive ex-husband while he was out of town, taking only the most valuable things to me. My cat, my books, my clothes, my grandma's sewing machine, and my Cuisinart electric fondue pot. And I literally started life afresh. It was a traumatic experience, but so was my marriage. Here's where May comes in. For the first time in my life, I lived alone, and I loved every second of it. I had an apartment in the center of the neighborhood I lived in and had walking distance from all the nightlife I could want. One such place was a pizza parlor and bar, and I would go there often for a drink after work and to catch up with neighbors. Now look, like I said, I'm a 42-year-old Midwestern woman who was taught to be polite, not to interrupt, and to always defer to her elders. But, like I said, I was also newly on a path of self-appreciation and taking up space. One night after work, I went to said pizza parlor for a drink and to say hi to people. Not that it matters a whit what I was wearing, but for sinister reference, I was wearing one of my favorite dresses, a gold knit number with a cowl neck that I still haven't gotten rid of, even though I now wear almost all black, just because it's that glorious. So I sit down at the bar, and next to me is this old guy. I've seen him around, but I didn't know his name at that time. While I'm talking to the person on my other side, this old guy puts his hand on my exposed thigh and starts rubbing it. This, listener, is my May moment. I completely snapped, and in this moment, at 35 years of age, I suddenly understood with picture-perfect clarity what the younger generations had already figured out, that I am my own person, and that I don't have to take shit from anyone, especially because of my gender. And I realized that it took me longer than it should have because I had been conditioned by society to just shake it off. Kudos to May's manager for taking her situation seriously, and for fuck's sake, what is wrong with people? I slapped his hand away, called over the bartender, and made a scene. People tried to placate me, but I was having none of it until the old guy was escorted off the property. He asked me, as the bartender grabbed his arm, "If you didn't want me to touch you, why are you dressed that way?" I stared after him in disbelief. Fast forward a few months. The neighborhood was mourning the passing of a longtime resident, and pictures were passed around on social media of his many appearances as Santa Claus over the years. Guess who it was? It was that old guy. I spent the next week sharing with anyone who would listen about how I was sexually molested by Santa Claus. Now, in a life I couldn't have even imagined a decade ago, I own a restaurant with my partner in all things and am grateful every day to take no shit from anyone. My staff knows that if anyone makes them the tiniest bit uncomfortable, that I will step in and escort them off the property, which I've done many times since we opened our doors 5 years ago. Our regulars also know that this is a safe space, and it's one of the biggest blessings in my life to be this safe space for people. I'm making up for lost time over here. So if my sinisters are ever in the St. Louis area and want a place that celebrates the amazing humans we are and serves killer tacos, Rockstar Tacos is the place. I so look forward to your first show of the tour, and rest assured that I will come bearing rockstar gifts. All my best, Becca.
Oh, well, I love to, first of all, Becca, thank you for sharing that. And I love to hear that Lindsay and May's stories inspired mm-hmm. you. And I liked it that you called it, this is my May moment. May we all have May moments.
Oh, and we're in May?
We're rebranding May. Instead of being the sweaty trash month, we're rebranding it to awesome, just like have a May moment, which is like, I'm going to stand up for myself and I'm just going to say something. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
I love it. And Becca also sent us the menu to Rockstar Tacos and invited us to come while we were there. And I took one look and was like, oh, yeah, we'll be there. Oh, like, honestly, if you live in St. Louis, even if you don't, go check it out. The menu looks incredible. And Becca, we can't wait to come get some tacos and meet you in person. You are a badass. It takes a lot to... Yeah. Blow up your life like Lindsay mm-hmm. did too and just start over. But look at how both of you have come so far and are so much happier because you took the misery of uncertainty over the misery of certainty and changed your life. Good for you.
For real. And like you think 10 years from now, where am I even going to be? You couldn't have even imagined that 10 years from where you were, that you were going to be an employer to people. Like you said, giving them a place where they feel like they're supported as, you know, people who work there, as people who come there. We're going to get some good tacos there. It's those choices that we make that seem so scary and we can't know where they'll end up. We just have to have faith, belief in ourselves that they'll end up mm-hmm. somewhere. It's like, I don't know what to do, but I know I can do the next best thing as best as I can. Because you're mm-hmm. just like, I don't know what the best choice is. I just know I can make this choice, which in your case was to leave. And just to have somebody to grab, you know, you're newly single and you're like getting groped on by a person. You're like, I'm glad everyone loves you as Santa Claus, but I was just trying to have a drink here and I'm allowed to wear whatever gold dress I want to wear. If I didn't want to get grabbed on, don't dress like that.
Santa. Sir, no. Fuck off. You're banned from the North Pole. No, yes. sir.
And no.
It's such a stereotype to say that kind of thing.
Yes.
And good for you for not letting everyone just be like, oh, it's okay. And just like kind of letting it go and being like, no, he just assaulted me. Get his ass out of here. Like,
yes.
We need more of that. Like, not saying something and then people are like, okay, but can you just chill out? You're like, no, I will not chill out.
Mm-mm.
Do something about this. I'm not the one in the wrong here.
For real, every time I hear, you know, anything like this, I'm like, the line is touching people. Like, they taught you that in kindergarten. I'm sure mm-hmm. Ella's class, first grade, they're like, you can't just touch your classmates however you want. It's keep your hands to yourself. Don't steal things that aren't yours. That book that they said, they taught everything in kindergarten. It really is true, though. It's like, you can't, guys being like, oh, she was wearing a dress, so I just grabbed a hold of her. In what world is grabbing a hold to anybody fine? It's not, unless there's a subway coming and they're about to walk right in front of it, then you grab right. a hold of them and you pull them back and you save them from the subway. But something like this, where it's just like, keep your hands to yourself. It's right in there. It's right in there, man.
I hate it. And I always think, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think this is going to work? But then I think.
Must have.
Yeah, but probably not because somebody wanted it to, probably because somebody was frozen in fear and didn't know what to do. And, you know, people did just, you are taught to brush mm-hmm. it off and just mm-hmm. like, well, and I mean, the whole trope of, well, what were you wearing? If I had a dollar for every time I've heard that in a story mm-hmm. or even have been told myself, like, why were you wearing that if you didn't want that to happen? Like, mm-hmm. what do you mean? I'm not the person who needs to be getting grilled here. I'm not the one to blame.
Yeah, anybody can ever wear anything they want forever, and that doesn't mm-hmm. give anybody the right ever to grab a hold of them or do anything to them. That part in the Avengers where he's like, I'm always angry, and immediately turns into the Hulk. If you're telling me a story and it's like, well, yeah, but like, what was she wearing? I'll turn into the fucking Hulk, and I'll rip your arms off. I'll rip your arms right off.
This table like a spider monkey hopped up on Mountain Dew.
Like, I will tear them off and beat you with your own arms, because mm-hmm. like, nah. But yeah, I'm happy to hear, though, Becca, that this, it's turned into something beautiful, right? Like, you took being kind of, you know, I'm going to take this back for me. It's like we say with the show, not just taking the power back for yourself, but finding ways that you can free somebody else and help somebody else. So having a business in the community where people know that they're not going to get harassed, where it is a safe place to get a good meal, where you can get a job there and you know that you're not going to get harassed at work. That's such a valuable thing.
Oh,
so thank you for taking your freedom and sharing it and freeing some other people.
Absolutely.
And it's bread and tacos.
Yeah. I mean, if we could all just make delicious tacos, the world would be a better place.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Well, this next one is from Matilda, and the subject line is The Vanishing Onion and a Glitch in the Matrix. Hi, ladies. I absolutely love the podcast. I've seen the live show twice now, once in the old format, once as Full Moon Energy, and had an absolute blast both times. Your content is always top-notch, and I'm here to tell everyone that the Patreon is 1,000% worth it. I could continue to sing your praises, but let me get on with my story. When I was a kid, my dad had a job where he worked 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., while my mom worked a more traditional 9 to 5, plus traffic. Therefore, every weekday, my dad cooked dinner. I loved being in the kitchen with my dad. He would always explain what he was doing, and we'd taste along the way. It was one of my true happy places. One night, when we were cooking dinner, my dad grabbed an onion out of the fridge. As he went to put it on the counter, he dropped it. I saw this out of the corner of my eye as I was setting the table, and I heard the thud as the onion hit the ground. Except, when he went to pick up the onion, he couldn't find it. We started looking everywhere. Just glancing around at first, then we got down on our hands and knees and started looking under things, between the fridge and the wall, even looking in the hallway in case it rolled out of the kitchen. Eventually, he just grabbed another onion from the fridge and said, "Well, I guess we'll find it when it starts to smell." But we never did. That onion vanished from our kitchen floor into another dimension. More than once, my dad told me that he was so glad I had witnessed it too, or else he would have thought he was losing his mind. That alone is strange enough. However, there is more to the story. 12 years later, I moved states for grad school. My parents and I drove in 2 cars over the course of 2 days to my new apartment that I had rented, sight unseen. Side note, it thankfully ended up being a great apartment, with my only complaint being a neighbor who loudly sang Circle of Life from The Lion King every single morning in the shower for the 2 years that I lived there. Before we began unloading, we explored the apartment. It was left empty and super clean, except when my dad opened the coat closet and called me over. There, in the middle of the empty closet, was an onion, the same type that we had lost all those years before. My dad and I exchanged a look and couldn't believe what we were seeing. Just like we didn't know where the onion went, we didn't know where this onion came from. But I like to believe it was some crazy glitch in the Matrix, and that onion came back to us. And because I know you're the type to like closure, no, we did not eat or cook with that onion. We kept it on the counter for a couple of days and eventually threw it out. My dad passed in 2021, and I miss him every day. We had so many kitchen adventures, but this one was the strangest. Now, I cook with my kids, and I hope that we're making great memories too. Thanks for everything. Keep it creepy, Matilda.
Holy shit, you found the onion 12 years later. That's wild. And who's to say how to explain it, but I'm not going to discount that it fell through into another dimension into the future where you were going to eventually live.
It fell into your closet.
Where would it have gone? And then even more strange, why was there just an onion in a closet in an otherwise empty apartment?
Right? It's not like, well, we dropped a box of mothballs and then later I found a box of mothballs in a closet. It's like, well, yeah, those stay in a closet. But the fact that you open up this closet in this place that you rented sight unseen. So you had already chosen it, or had the apartment already chosen you?
Ooh.
And then you open it up and the onion's right there waiting for you. That's wild. And I'm with your dad. It's one of those where you're like, oh, thank God Matilda was with me. They never right? would have believed me.
And if 12 years later, y'all can look at each other and you're immediately like, know what you're thinking, it's a memory that had, you know, lived rent-free up there of like, yes. You know about the onion thing, right?
Yes. It's one of those where you're like, I'll never forget it. Well, a future upcoming episode that we'll have for y'all coming soon, there's some question of what does it mean when an object passes, like a solid object passes through another solid object? What is it? Psychokinesis? Is it a ghost? Is it a glitch in the matrix? What is it? So you're not alone, Matilda. Your onion just moved through not only space, but also time and distance, it sounded like.
I like to think that however it ended up there, it was a sign that you had made the right mm-hmm. choice for your apartment, grad school, all of that. Like you were on the right path for that. So that's,
right.
to me, I think as weird as it is, I would also be comforted that like, oh, the onion's here.
You're like, oh, well, at least I know it's the right place. My onion found me. I found my onion. But that's sweet. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful, not just a memory you have with your dad, but now new memories you get to make with your kids too.
Yes. The kids love cooking with Tommy as well. And that was a big thing he did with his grandma. So time in the kitchen is, that's where a lot of great memories are made. So good for you and good for keeping it going with your own kiddos.
That's awesome. Thank you, Matilda. Well, this next one is from Ash. And here is our double feature, our big
How excited are you on a level of 1 to 10?
I'm like a 53.
Okay. So we're up there with two Bigfoot stories coming mm-hmm. up.
You really did me a favor. Thank you. you actually all did us a favor by even sending these in. So thank you very much. Well, let's kick it off with Ash. And the subject line is my grandpa's Bigfoot story. Tall tale or did it happen? Hey, ladies. I've sent in a couple of tales here and there because, like most neurodivergents, I reassure others that I'm listening by telling a story I've related to something they've said. And apparently that drifts into the podcast world. I'm not sure if that's as sad as I think it is, or if it's just my current place in life. Either way, I love your content, and I get so excited when one of my comments gets replied to on Instagram or Facebook. I'm a mom who sews and works in a preschool for a living, and I'm in the process of leaving a marriage I should have ended a long time ago. But better late than never, and your stories get me through. 2024 is not my year, but at least I'm not in a cult, am I right? Well, there was that one time I sold leggings, though. I'm kidding. That wasn't that bad. Anyway, on with my story. I'm a big fan of cryptids. I may or may not have taught my preschool class about the Mothman. Just a brief glossing. I'm not giving anyone nightmares. Those kids are not fun when they're sleep deprived. I almost quit the day after Halloween. I like to say I was brought up to be a weird little skeptic, though. My grandfather, my dad's dad, used to sneak me books about UFOs and secret government experiments out of his personal library at family functions starting in junior high. The first book he ever gave me was called Hoosier Folklore when I was in sixth grade, and I demolished it in 2 days and didn't sleep for a week. Gramps also had some awesome stories he used to tell me over lunch with he and my dad. You see, my grandpa was in the Secret Service, I believe in the 1960s. When he retired from that, he moved back to his hometown and became a detective for the Indiana State Police. One night, a boy and a girl were parking at the end of their date. Her family was down a lane that had trees on either side and a hill in the middle, so you could only see the end of the drive from the upstairs of the house. The boy had parked at the end of the drive and killed the lights. The music was low on the radio, the windows were down, the car was off, and they were making out. The boy heard gravel moving like footsteps and thought maybe they had missed her curfew and had been spotted by her dad, so he flipped on his headlights to greet him and plead their innocence / apologize. But instead of her dad, a tall, hairy man stood in the middle of the drive. It stared at them for a split second, let out a growl, and took off into the trees. The boy and the girl, understandably startled, hauled ass up to the house and woke her parents, who, like any parent of a teen who just got home and was screaming about an ape man in the 1960s or 70s, he never really dated the story, but I know he left the ISP in the early 1980s. The parents called the law because their kids were on drugs, they were sure of it, and worse, they were having a bad reaction. So, My grandpa dragged his ass out of bed and to the home. He had some coffee and heard the story from both the boy and the girl. He got some razzing about it, and there was a couple of weird incidents in the weeks and months following. The roof was ripped off someone's rabbit cage, and their pet rabbits were missing, except for the remnants of one. A house with aluminum siding had a corner peeled back, and strange hair was on the edge. But nothing really came of it. My grandpa left the state police and became a private investigator. My grandpa is a lover of weird stuff too, though, so the story has always stuck with him. In my early 20s, so the early 2000s, he was visiting with Dad and I and said, "Guess who I saw?" Apparently, he saw the boy from that night, all grown up, and they recognized each other. My grandpa, who was with my grandma at the time, asked the boy to tell her a story, you know, because he was a little rusty. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And wouldn't you know, the guy told the exact same story he had told my grandpa that night. It hadn't changed a bit. When you're investigating, that means a lot. Lies are hard to remember. So are drug-fueled hallucinations, I bet. But either way, Big Pop, as my girls refer to him, still tells this story to my two kiddos from his nice, cushy apartment in a retirement home. And it's still the same as the first time I heard it all those years ago. So, that's the time my grandpa had to investigate a Bigfoot sighting. If this story makes the pod, thanks. My birthday is this month, and I've already bought myself one of your Flatwoods Monster teas, but this would be an awesome way to celebrate turning 42, sharing my favorite story from Gramps with my favorite podcast. Keep being awesome, ladies, and hope to catch you live soon when the shit comes out of the fan. Ash.
Okay. I guess it's happy hit the fan. Happy birthday, Ash, but I that's going into my lexicon for sure when the shit comes out of the fan because it hit it and now it's got to come out. Yes. I love it.
Happy birthday. Happy 40th. That's incredible. Yeah. Thank you so much for celebrating your 40th by sharing your grandpa's Big Pop's Bigfoot story. What?
I love it.
Oh, man. Just trying to make out after a date and it's like,
oh, man.
Bigfoot's trying to tell you it's curfew.
Honestly, though, are you relieved just the slightest that when you turn on your headlights, it's not your date's dad standing there, and instead it's a Sasquatch that you got to run home and tell her parents about.
Yeah, right. He's like, well, if I turn my headlights on and it's her dad, I might get beaten. And if it's Bigfoot, I might get eaten, but probably not. So I'm going to go Bigfoot every time.
But I love that, of course, they're having a, quote, bad reaction.
Yes. They're doing that's the reefer. They're
such having, a thing. Yeah.
The reefer madness has taken hold. They can't. They think love they it. Saw an
Ant-Man. And, you know, you're right. It is a big thing when people's stories stay consistent. I mean, we see that in, like, major true crime stories. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing that when stories change, it looks a little sus. So to all those years later still have the exact same story speaks volumes to whatever they saw.
And yeah, they're like, I saw it out there.
I wonder if they stayed together.
Yeah. It brings you together. You stay married.
Truly, like trauma bonds you
forever. Oh, well, that is incredible. Well, thank you very, very much, Ash, for sharing that with us. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Man, I love a Bigfoot story. And to that same point, Allison has gotten us this last one.
Yeah.
Subject line, my dad's Bigfoot encounter. Allison writes, Hello, ladies. Started listening to the show back in December when I was in the NICU for 6 to 8 hours every day with my newborn niece. I needed something to occupy my time while I held her, and your podcast was perfect. In the earbuds, of course. Since then, I've made it through your entire back catalog. I've been waiting to send in my dad's story in case you received hundreds of Bigfoot encounters, but now that I'm caught up, I think you've gotten maybe 3? I figured it was time. Is this story one that my dad and his brothers concocted to scare all the children around the campfire? Maybe, but they all swear to it to this day. My dad grew up in Washington State. My poor grandmother raised 5 boys, so she was all about getting them out of the house as much as possible. They're all huge outdoorsmen. One day, when they were in their late teens, early 20s, so this would have been the late 1960s to early 1970s, they decided they would go hike Mount St. Helens. They packed up their hiking and camping gear and headed out. They figured there would be somewhere to set up camp along the trail, so they set out as soon as they got there. By the time the sun was setting, they were only about halfway down the mountain and decided it was best to just go ahead and make camp on the trail. They set up their tent and eventually went to bed. Yes, all 5 of them in one tent. In the middle of the night, one of them was awoken by a loud noise. He shot up and looked around, but all the others were still asleep, and he couldn't see anything from outside the tent, like a flashlight. So he laid his head back down. A few minutes later, he heard the noise again. It was a deep, guttural, howling type of noise, nothing one of the local animals would make. He shoved the brother next to him to get him to wake up and whispered, "Shh, listen." The brother was annoyed, but he quieted down and listened. He heard the noise, and they shared a knowing look. It wasn't a bear. It wasn't a mountain lion. They didn't know what it was. They started to wake the others when they were hit by a sudden wave of the most disgusting smell they had ever experienced, like rotting garbage or bad fish, but times 10. The noises were continuing and sounded like they were getting closer, so they decided to turn the flashlight on and peek outside. As soon as the flashlight came on, the tent started shaking violently. They were arguing about what to do when one of them grabbed the flashlight, turned it off, and whisper yelled, "Quiet!" They all fell silent, and just as quickly as it had started, the shaking stopped. So did all the noises, and the smell slowly faded. They agreed to sit in the dark and quiet until the sun came up, and then booked it out of there. Several hours later, they could tell the sun was rising, so they bravely peeked out of the entrance to the tent. The trail looked just as it did when they went to bed, except there were several large tracks of footprints, too big for any man to make. They broke down their camp as fast as they could and made their way back down the trail to their car. So, what do you think? Did my dad and all his brothers encounter not one, but potentially several Bigfoots, Big Feet, that night on a hiking trail on Mount St. Helens? Or was this just a scary story to tell the kids that fit the lore of the area? Before you decide, a follow-up note. My dad's oldest brother worked in a very good government job until I was in my teens, and then he quit to become a Bigfoot hunter. You read that right. My uncle was a Bigfoot hunter for several years, and many of his feet casts are in the Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine. He was also featured on a few Bigfoot hunting shows. His most prized possession was what he considered to be a full body cast that he brought to Mother's Day one year. However, I think he also sold that to a museum somewhere. Shrugs. So, what do you think?
Well, I think that if I don't get a full body cast of a Bigfoot on Sunday,
yeah,
Mother's Day's a bust.
Yeah, for Mother's Day. That's, I think Tommy's been working on it. That's it. He's like, "Don't come in the garage. I'm still working. I'm still working out here."
What a thing to show up with for that brunch. But
yeah,
I got to say, you know, it might be just like, maybe they made it up. Maybe not. But when your uncle quits his job to become a full-time Bigfoot hunter, I think that speaks volumes about what he really saw or in beliefs that he experienced.
For real. And I think Washington State is Bigfoot country. I mean, that's like right the area. Our experience at the Bigfoot Museum in Boring, Oregon was we got a little squirt puff of the scent of the Bigfoot musk, and it does stink. So that's part of it is the roaring, the guttural.
They can't get all their matted fur.
They can't just,
nobody's
like,
combing
wash up.
Through it.
Yeah, they
gotta, yeah. I mean, they're just like bathing in
get them some poof.
River water and stuff.
Yeah, they can't help, but it's things get dicey out there. But I think this the sound of that not lion, not bear, like, you know, it's kind of like Yowie. You start to kind of check off like what could this possibly be? Mm-hmm. But that same, they always say it's like that guttural body, like it hits like at a lower, maybe like a lower octave or on a different frequency or something. So that could get you to quit your very good government job to become a Bigfoot hunter, certainly.
I got to say, your uncles are very brave to be like, we need to take a peek outside and see what's going on with this flashlight. I would have been the one that was like, shh, everybody stop.
Shut up.
Just shut up. Turn off the lights, everybody. But that's, I don't know. He it worked. He left. So good. Mm-hmm. Because if you, here's the thing. I don't want anybody to have an encounter where they're in danger.
Yes.
Or mauled. But I would love for one of these times someone to be like, we're going to peek outside. And they peek outside. And then the Bigfoot is like, ooh. And then there's like a moment between the two of them. And we learn like, hey, man, we're just here camping. What are you doing? And he's like, I'm here camping too. This is where I live. And then, you know, you get to bond and have some Bigfoot campfire stories instead of us just being terrified. And like, now we're like, what do we do? Oh, I guess we become a Bigfoot hunter, who is a very acclaimed Bigfoot hunter. He's,
I mean, if
he's
you were
made
on
a name
few
for himself
of the
big- in the Bigfoot world.
If you're on the shows and you're donating things to museums, yeah, I'm sure your name gets out there. No, your plan may not be too far off. They're figuring out how to map the language of sperm whales so that AI could respond to. So if we can figure out someday, yeah, if you could basically like catalog every noise that they make, it would be like cataloging every noise that humans make and then trying to like decode it back to, yeah, we're going
to
crack
like
it.
It's like a rival. Because she has to like write down all of the noises and symbols and stuff that the aliens draw to basically figure out a new language. But
so they're
now
doing
we're just
that.
Gonna have AI do it. You could do the same with dolphins. Really,
but they're actively working on it right now with sperm whales. Yeah, I guess because sperm whales, they do have such a like a data collection of the various sounds that they make and an understanding of what sounds that they make, so that it's like this cutting edge thing that they're like, in a few years we're gonna be able to talk to whales, and then maybe from then on, use that pattern. And I was like, we're about to Dr. Doolittle it. So
we're going to be talking to animals within the next 50 years.
Easily. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And they're going to be like, stop ruining things. Like they answered, like, are you going to listen? If you're going to start listening to them, they're going to be like, stop throwing shit in our ocean and sending it up. They're like, yeah, turn it down and you turn the air down. It's like when you ask me, how's it going in the house, Heather? Turn the air conditioner down. Just make it colder. It's too hot in here.
I wonder what Petal would have to say if we were able to understand her. A lot of hot takes.
When you can understand her. Oh my goodness. Well, I hope that the Bigfoot hunters out there get the hold of this technology and get to make the contact that they want to make and take us on a hunt with them, because we've been on a paranormal investigation.
That's the next thing we need to do. We need a Nessie hunt. We need a Bigfoot hunt. We've been graced with getting into the paranormal investigation world. And now if we can befriend some cryptid hunters, that's our next step.
On it. That's the plan.
Gotta do it. Yeah, that's what we got. I feel like Oregon is a good place to start.
Yeah, Oregon, Washington State, anywhere in the Pacific Northwest. And Allison, you crack me up when you're like, I thought you might have gotten hundreds of them, but now you've maybe only gotten three. And now I think we're at like five or six now, so thank you.
We're up to a handful, but
anybody listening, don't think you got to sit on your story. Just go ahead and send it in. We'll take it. We appreciate all of these, man. These were eye-opening in various different kinds of ways, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you, everyone, that sent in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, and you also receive an archived bonus content once a month just for joining for free. Or you can join at a tier and dive into over 800 hours of bonus content.
We got some Am I the Asshole from Reddit coming up. We have a Judge Christie coming up soon. In a few weeks, we got a True Crime Headlines coming up. Plus, we have an archive of a ton of mini-sodes, live streams, and all the bonus content that have all come out so far. So you sign up for that week trial. I mean, you could listen all day, every day, and still not run out of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, just if you got a desk job where you can put in your earbuds and go, sign up for that week trial and just be like, you could probably consume it all if you really try. I don't know about a week. It'd be like a full-time job, but you could make a dent in it for sure. And then if you like what you hear, you can stick around.
And you can join. When you join, you get ad-free episodes, those monthly live streams, weekly bonus content, monthly mini-sodes. You get merch discounts, the Ruling the Airwaves Get Into It tier, as well as a community of the best listeners on the whole internet. And you can head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out that merch where you can use your Patreon discount, like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. We got that Flatwoods Monster shirt we talked about earlier. It says believe and be kind. We also have a merch clearance sale as we go on tour. We got some tour merch from shows past, and you can still use your Patreon discount on them.
We had the sweetest picture on our Facebook Patreon group of a mom and her toddler in matching Believe and Be Kind t-shirts, and it was the cutest thing ever. I can't wait to show it to Ella. And while you're on our website, you can also review the show. We make it super simple to give us reviews. We love ones that have 5 stars. Follow us on socials and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets. We had someone the other day ask us, I want to get my husband interested in your podcast before he goes to the live show. What are some episodes we should have him listen to? And we were like, go to the playlist because they're all divided out. True crime, cryptid, paranormal, mysteries. So if you have someone in your life that, you know, likes one of those things, you can just send them a link to that and we've got it all sorted for you so you don't have to go searching.
Yeah, go to sinisterhood.com/playlists and it's all right there. And you can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch full video versions of our Wednesday episodes early and ad-free on Patreon, and then a few days later on YouTube. We're also doing some clips from Freaky Friday on YouTube, as well as over on our TikTok page at Sinisterhood Podcast. Subscribe to our TikTok, as well as Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, because we've been going live on various platforms, just trying to test out different platforms and ways to connect with y'all and everything like that. So be sure you're following us, and we'll post about it over on our Instagram page whenever we go live. But if you're already subscribed, you get an alert, so you don't even have to worry about me forgetting to tell you that we're live. It'll just tell you automatically. We also have custom video shout outs over on Cameo. Just head over to cameo.com, search Sinisterhood, and request us to make a video for you. It can be a happy birthday, happy anniversary, a pep talk, congratulations, graduations are coming up, over at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace, and I'm on TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather, where are you?
Pretty much on that internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.